Heaping Portions. For those of you that don't know what this is, Heaping Portions is a show we've been doing down in Los Angeles where we have a number of writers and performers doing their take on the weekly Torah portion, a modern take, some loose theme. This week, because it's Shavuos, we're doing the Book of Ruth with a loose theme being insiders and outsiders. My piece that I'm doing for you is from a book series I'm working on called The Bystander's Bible, and it is first person perspectives on Bible stories back in biblical time spoken in a modern voice. So this would be the Book of Ruth, Anka and Hannah's story. I hate her. I don't want a wedding, a bride price, a dowry. I'm not land, I'm not cattle. I don't know what she said to my dad, that witch, but I know it was bad. We were so dumb, Hannah and me. We were dumb, but it happened. I love Hannah. I said it. I love Hannah. And it was early. It was too early for Mom to be up, and she just barged in. Naomi's back. Stop. She looked at me and Hannah and me and Hannah and bare backs and butts and arms entangled, and she turned to the door. It's time for your father to negotiate your bride price, don't you think? Get dressed. Naomi's back. We're going out. She slammed the door. Who's Naomi? Hannah asked. When we got to the kitchen, my mother was gossiping with Ellie. Imagine going all that way to a country like that just to have your husband die and your sons marry Moabites. Not that I'm spreading gossip, she said. They say Shaddai punished him for leaving Bethlehem. My mom was obsessed with the misfortunes of other people, and during a famine, no less, when his people needed him. Going to Moab, of all places, Eli responded. I hear their skin is blackened by the ashes of Sodom. You know what the book says. My mom loved to quote the book as if it was gospel. Genesis 19:36. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father, and the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites to this day. Deuteronomy 23:3. A Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation. And then she turned to us. They shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Hannah, isn't it time for you to go? My mother finished. So why is she back? Ellie chimed in. I heard her sons died, both of them, Mom said. All of a shalom, Ellie interrupted. God rest their souls. God rest their souls. How? I don't know. But I heard she got worried about our harvest and came back. Ellie interrupted. This harvest is a gift from God. Baruch Hashem. Mom continued, while this is all a deep, deep tragedy, the juice of the story is she's brought a Moabite back here. I think it's one of her daughters-in-laws. I haven't seen her, but I heard her name is Ruth. She turned to me all business. Pack a breakfast basket, Anka. We're going to visit Naomi. Bethlehem's more beautiful than I remember, Naomi said. The land was so cracked and dry when we left, but now lush, it looks like childhood to me. Remember, she turned to my mom, when we got lost in the pomegranate groves. I wanted to hate Naomi for coming back, for my mom dragging me here with her coffee clutch. On our way, they spoke about her with such pity I expected pitiful, a widowed crone, pathetic from misfortune. And all of them, all self-righteous charity, bringing her food, patting each other on the back. But Naomi was nobody's crone. Her dignity defied her current status. Her long neck rose from a slim, straight back, clear eyes, thick salt and pepper hair pulled back into a neat bun. She spoke with intention, not sloppy gossip, but politic. Not the questions you wanted, but what she wanted you to know. She said surprisingly little about her life in Moab or the deaths of her husbands and sons, except to make a strangely dignified request that we no longer call her Naomi, but Mara, bitterness, because she left Bethlehem full, and now, lost of husband and sons, she's empty. Shaddai has abandoned her, matter of fact. Her audience rapt, she took great pains in describing how both of her daughters-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, never questioned the decision to return to Bethlehem, but helped her pack and followed her along. She told how the three of them stood at the crossroads of Moab and Judah. Naomi pressed her daughters-in-law to return to their Moab. They refused. Naomi told them again, "Please, return to your mother's house." Finally, Orpah agreed, kissed Naomi, and left. Naomi turned to Ruth, "I have nothing to give you. No sons left in my body for you to marry. Go back to your land." And then bursting in as if on cue came Ruth, fresh from the shower. The women collectively gasped, white towel on her head, high cheekbones, luminescence in her dark face. She looked like an idol. "I told her," Ruth said, walking towards Naomi, their eyes locked in. "Wherever you go, I go. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I shall die." Ruth sat down facing Naomi. They didn't touch but looked into each other, their bodies connected on so many levels. I started to sweat. My mom honked in, "Why, that was just beautiful, my dear. I'm sure I can speak for all the ladies when I say your service to Naomi and your acceptance of our one true God is extraordinary. Regardless of what Deuteronomy says, Ruth the Moabite is an Israelite now." And all the ladies clapped, 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 thrilled by their own magnanimous behavior to this pagan lady. "You're in the in crowd now," my mother said. And was it just me? Was it just my insane mourning? But I could have sworn that there was a look, a passing look between Ruth and Naomi that was, I don't know, like, well done, well played, my friend. Performed with perfection. I mean, it was great that my mom and her gal pals totally accepted Ruth, but there was something else. According to Naomi, God abandoned her. Mom said God punished her husband and sons for trying to find work and food in Moab. What kind of God does that? And why would you want in? Maybe it's a bit better in Judah for widows than in Moab. I mean, now with the harvest, they can glean from the corners of the fields. And as far as I know, it's left there for the widows and beggars. Later that night, I snuck over to Hannah's and told her everything. "We have to get to the bottom of this," she said. If Ruth's a hottie, I have to see it for myself. Dad told Mom he couldn't deal with my marriage prospects until after the harvest. Reprieve, at least for now. Mom and I had a chilly truce, and there was so much work to do that we were both a bit overwhelmed. Hannah and I found time, between time, but there wasn't enough of any time until the last of the fields had been cut and collected to go back and see Ruth and Naomi. They kept a pretty low profile. The buzz was that Ruth spent all her time gleaning in old Boaz's field, and that Boaz had been slipping her a little extra barley on the side. I didn't think much of it because old Boaz always made a pretty big show of flirting with the pretty girls. Hannah would joke that for an old bachelor, he had impeccable shoes. I'd heard that Boaz was a distant relative of Naomi, of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. She probably sent her there. The evening air was slightly chilly. "We have visitors," Naomi called to Ruth, as Hannah and I walked in with our tea and cake. Ruth stood up from the table to say hello. I have to say, for evening, she seemed a little fancied up. She was wrapped in a fitted ivory tunic that popped against her dark skin, rouge on her cheeks and lips. "Are you going out? We can come again another time." "No worries," said Naomi. "No one's going anywhere for a while. Please come in. It'll help us pass the time." They were generous with conversation. We drank tea and ate cake, and then Naomi got up and started waxing Ruth's curls. Ruth and Naomi touched a lot, handing each other tea, helping with a platter, Naomi rolling Ruth's hair. Their touching put me at ease, and I grew bold and slipped my hand over Hannah's right there at the table. I wanted this life, the easy peace of Ruth and Naomi. "I never wanted to get married," I blurted out. Naomi looked up from the curls, looked at me and Hannah, and took it all in. "It's nice to be with friends, dear," she said. "But a woman's fate is negotiated between the sheets of men. You'd be wise to learn that, dear." She turned back to the curls. "Your hair is done, sweetheart. It's time for you to go." Ruth got up. "How do I look?" she asked. "Fuckable," Naomi responded. They both laughed. Ruth stroked Naomi's cheek. "Good luck, my dear." As Naomi walked Ruth to the door, Hannah and I looked at each other, flabbergasted. Is Naomi pimping Ruth out? We surreptitiously found Ruth on the road. We followed her all the way past town. She was standing outside of Boaz's threshing room. She waited a little longer before going in. We tried to peek in a window, but we couldn't see anything. "Wonderful news," my mother exclaimed as she burst into the kitchen the next morning. "Your father's gone to negotiate your bride price. We should have an arrangement by the end of the day, and your wedding will be in a week's time." I couldn't breathe. I ran to my room and closed the door and just stood letting it hold me up until I finally fell down. I didn't move. I didn't move all day. Behind the door, I heard the usual parade of gossip and lady visitors streaming across my mother's kitchen. In my haze, I heard pieces of conversation. Boaz, gates of the town, petitioning the elders, Leverite claims to Elimelech's property. You know, Boaz is a redeeming kinsman, the closest living relative to Elimelech, Naomi's dead husband, Elimelech. Boaz, property, redeeming property, and gets Ruth as his bride. I was mad at myself. I was jealous, so jealous, Ruth and Naomi. Naomi did this. That night, Ruth could have gone to anyone but Boaz, old Boaz, Elimelech's kinsman. He will redeem them together. And if Ruth has a son, I hate my mother. I have to see Hannah. I grab my coat just as Mom barges in. "Your father sent news. Jonah's son, Reuven." I put my face in my hands. It seems he also ran into Hannah's father, who was also making arrangements today. Hannah will marry Joseph's son of Dan. Jonah and Joseph. The girls in town will pity us for these matches. I cried and cried. I threw my arms open and I hugged my mom. "I love you," I said. "Jonah and Joseph are best friends. And as Hannah likes to say, for single men, they have very nice shoes."
Suddenly, everything has changed.
Hi guys, come on in. Let's wait for everybody to get in here to this room, just because I just want everybody to come in and take their seats. So let's just hold on a second. How's it going, you guys? It's a great festival of Judaism. Come on in. You guys can come on in, and there's like some room over here on the floor. And then if we could just close the door once everybody's in. I'm sorry, it's just very distracting with the door open, so I'm just gonna wait. Okay, let's close the door now. Okay, now let's close the door. Okay, now let's close the door. Okay, let's close the door. Yeah, go ahead and close it. Awesome. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Hi, you guys. Hi. Many of you already know me. But for those of you who don't, my name is Kristen Weinrib. Some of you know me as Miss Christie. And when Rabbi Mark asked me to speak this morning on my Jewish journey, my first thought was, I'm not really a writer, and I don't know if I could even string two words together with a paper bag. So please forgive me if I seem a little bit nervous. Hi, Sharon. Hi. When I first came here to Skokie, Illinois, all the way from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and landed here at Temple Beth Am, I was pretty confused. I was like, who's this Beth, and when do I get to meet her? But that was just the beginning. So many questions took up space in my head. I guess this is going to be going on. Okay, sorry. What is a Kiddush cup? What does an Oneg Shabbat taste like? And for that matter, what the heck is even Judaism? As co-teacher in the nursery school, I certainly found out fast. I was brought into Miriam's class like I had been there forever, falling in love with the children in an instant, with Micah H and Micah T, Chloe S and Chloe G, and Asher M, Asher B, and Asher Z. But then the whispers started. Besides lovely words like Simchat and Torah, there were ugly words like Shiksa and Goyesha. Words I heard whispered in the hallway. She's just trolling for a rich husband. I was hurt, but I guess I understood. I was an outsider. If I were a 300-pound black man, I wouldn't have fared much better in Fond du Lac. And I guess when Stephen and I fell in love, people's worst expectations turned out to be true. But it really was about something so much bigger. The first time that Stephen dropped Hannah off in my classroom, the word of my day on my Jewish word of my day calendar was Besheret. The fact that Stephen was married was something I would only come to understand weeks later. The fact that he was married to Nancy and that Nancy was undergoing chemo for both breast and ovarian cancer was something I would come to discover soon after that. Rabbi Mark was very kind when he fired me from the nursery school. I wanted to say goodbye to my kids, but Rabbi Mark and I agreed that it would just be difficult for them and confusing, so I left this wonderful community and all of you wonderful people. And after much prayer on mine and Stephen's parts, Nancy experienced a full refuah shlema, and for that we were grateful. After the divorce, I was glad that many of you learned the true story of Nancy and Stephen's divorce, that their problems started years before, and they had truly grown apart. Their divorce was not, in fact, a result of Nancy's illness and the loss of her breasts, and certainly not due to my arrival at Beth Am, nor the fact that I was a so-called shiksa, 10 years younger than Nancy. Those Lashon Hara theories are very tempting, but they're ultimately unfair to everyone, especially to those who traffic in them. Shiksa, what an ugly word, but a word that even I can say now that I am Jewish. Jew by choice, we said in my conversion class. Was it my choice or the choice of my soul pulling me somewhere that it knew it wanted to go? Or was it your choice? Was it the choice of the many eyes that are here today? The eyes that I once thought were judging me, eyes telling me that my transgression was made far worse, for I was an outsider. After 2 years in conversion class at our neighboring temple, Beth Shalom in Arlington Heights, still no Beth to be seen, Stephen and I got married. It broke my heart to not be able to do so in front of all of you and this bima, the very bima that taught me what the word bima means. After Stephen and I were lucky enough to give Hannah a sister named Esther, we were double blessed to be forgiven by Nancy. Although I invited her to be here this morning, she unfortunately had an appointment with a personal shopper at Saks. And when the job opening came up earlier this year, back here in the nursery school at Temple Beth Am, I was lucky enough that Rabbi Mark felt that enough time had passed, and who better than me, Miss Christie, for the position as full teacher in pre-K. I came back here and was welcomed with loving arms. Asher and Chloe and Micah, H, T, M, N, C, B, and Z, are all in the upper school now, and it is a joy to see them grown up. So today, 5 years after I arrived in your midst, I'm supposed to talk about what it means to be a Jew by choice. But I decided that it wouldn't be fair unless I tell you guys anything other than the truth, and one thing I know about Judaism is that the search for truth is paramount. I'm so sorry, Rabbi Mark, for giving you that false ending for my piece to approve. It's like the Sex and the City finale. They had to shoot 4 endings so the real one wouldn't get out. So speaking of choice, today, I no longer choose to be a Jew. I want to go back to Fond du Lac, where they don't even know what shiksa means. Women are just good and bad, but it has nothing to do with their religion or the color of their hair. I want to go back to Fond du Lac because, my friends, 2 days ago, when I walked into my very own little Esther's transitions class, I was nothing but thrilled to meet her brand new co-teacher, Kirsten. People said, oh, she reminds us of you when you first got here. But for one, her name is Kirsten and mine's Kristen. And for two, the way she was dressed, particularly on Shabbos, is something that even I knew was not appropriate. That much cleavage can be confusing for anyone, but especially for a child's developing mind. One day later, when I saw Stephen lingering at drop-off, I knew. I used the word shiksa. I paired it with the word homewrecker, and I hissed it in the hallways. I hoped I was being paranoid, but last night when I confronted Stephen, he confirmed my darkest fears. That ever since I became pregnant with Esther, we had grown apart. And the more involved with sisterhood I became, the more he felt left behind. Stephen felt a real connection with Kirsten, and they'd acted on it in the art supplies closet while everybody else was outside at the Lag BaOmer festivities. 5 years ago, I thought Lag BaOmer was a dirty word. And today it is a word you guys can all have back, along with Tu B'Shvat, Havdalah, and particularly, schmooze. You can take your bagels and your cream cheese that you sometimes call a schmear, for I am going back to Fond du Lac. I am taking Esther, although she probably will start going by her middle name, which is Caitlin. I am going back to Fond du Lac. So today is not the beginning of my Jewish journey, it is the end. Goodbye, Rabbi Mark. Bye, Sharon. Bye, Nancy's friends. Stephen isn't here today. He and Kirsten are out looking at those new condos on Rand Road. First, I was an other, an outsider, and all I wanted was to be an insider with all of you people, the other others, the chosen others. I may have come in some of the wrong doors, but I thought I had found my way back in. But it turns out that all of this time that I thought I was going to become a Jew, what none of the classes prepared me for was that I was going to become a Jewish woman. So goodbye to being a Jew, yes, sadness. But goodbye to being a Jewish woman, relief. I want to go back to Fond du Lac, where men mow their own lawns and there's a stocking waiting for me on Christmas mornings. I want to go back to Fond du Lac, where we have tall tales of men named Santa and Jesus instead of question marks and burning flames. I want to go back to Fond du Lac, where every single Sunday, I, Christy Grace Forrester Weinrib, have a brand new chance to be forgiven. So please, my friends, I'm going to slip out the door behind the Bima and use the emergency exit. I don't want your hugs. I don't want your tears. I don't want you to call Stephen names. And I especially don't want you to call Kirsten names. I want you to go on with your Shabbat morning service, and I want you to have your own egg afterwards. And please, remember me, Christy, with fondness. So, shalom, and shalom.
Hello. It's late, but we're all here. And I want to thank Reboot and the CGM for having me here to mark this very special solemn holiday, Shavuos, which is notable because it's actually connected by Torah portion to the Book of Ruth, which I don't know if many of you have read lately, but it's actually this salacious, amazing story about interfaith love, which is a subject very close to my heart. As biblical stories go, Ruth is just a doozy. It's amazing. She's this ultimate outsider, and she earns her place in history by sort of landing this incredibly wealthy barley farmer, who also happens to be a very rich Jew. And like Ruth, I was born non-chosen, but I happily fell in with the Semites, and about 12 years ago, I fell in love with this sort of amazing LA equivalent of The Rich Barley Farmer, which is an employed TV comedy writer. And like Ruth, I'm this kind of unlikely convert. I come from Quaker stock, and my only real exposure to religion growing up was after my parents got divorced, my dad sent me to a Catholic school to kind of spite and stick it to my hippie lesbian Buddhist mom. So I was a little mixed up. And then there's this first name. My name is Christopher, and No matter that my mom was this big A.A. Milne fan, I may as well be called Jesus. Like, when my mother-in-law found out we were dating, the first thing she said was, "His name starts with Christ. I can't put that on a wedding invitation." And thankfully, we kept at it. We got married, and now I find myself with this Jewish wife and three Jewish kids and this incredible circle of Jewish friends and colleagues. And, you know, some of my best friends are still goys. I haven't gone completely native. But more and more, I just find that my birth people are, you know, uptight and repressed and entirely too unconcerned and carefree, because there's so much to worry about, like John McCain's appeal in Palm Beach and the fact that there's probably a dozen amazing restaurants within a 5-square-mile area from here, and I don't know anything about them. But still, I remain officially unchosen. Now, I know I could convert, but I think this involves a lot of homework, and I've heard something about a ritual circumcision, and this seems crazy to me. This is like Ghana. And also, I think I understand you have to have a belief in God, and on this, I am supremely iffy. So what I'm not iffy about is Jews. I have absolute faith in Jews. I love the food, I love the jokes, I love the arguing. Like Ruth, I will go where they go, I will stay where they stay, but I will ask for the rate that they got. But tonight, I want to make it official. Tonight, I want to become a cultural Jew, a CJ. And I know there are standards, there are questions, there are traditions, so I'm going to need to ask my friends Rana and Bev, who are very knowledgeable about all things Jewish, to come up and administer a rite.
Thank you for doing this.
They had a snack downstairs, so I feel warm from the inside.
I don't know if this works.
I had a warm drink.
Here's what I'm going to do, Beverly. I'm going to try and take this off of this thing.
I can't.
I wouldn't mind. They usually have someone that can assist a person.
Yeah. Oh. Is this fun?
Is this terrible,
this event that they're having? You know, you're sitting, I hate to tell you, you're sitting in a yud.
Yeah.
You know? The yud room?
Yeah.
Good for you.
They should have done double, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's, I suppose, it's sacrilegious.
Is that terrific?
Okay.
Let's get to it.
So, Christopher, by the way, your mother-in-law has never been more right about anything.
It sounds
like you still got it done. So, anyway.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to administer a brief quiz.
Yeah.
We will pepper Christopher with questions.
Yeah.
He will answer them.
Yeah.
Beverly will keep score.
Yeah, I'm going to keep score on my...
You have a pen, Beverly, and something to write on.
Yeah.
And then at the end... We'll see what happens. Maybe he wins, maybe he doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay, let's step.
Here we go.
This is like, you know, pyramid or whatever. I wouldn't mind if you... I'm not interested in what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. This is very... Excuse me, this is a pivotal moment in his life. I wouldn't mind. Okay.
Can you imagine?
Are you prepared?
I think I'm ready.
This person always has a little cream cheese on his lapel at breakfast and has never set foot in a dry cleaner's.
A schlub.
Correct. Check. Another word for schmuck.
Yeah. A yutz?
No, pardon me. It's
a putz.
Yeah.
A putz.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Give him half a point for that.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the difference between a schlemiel and a schlemazel?
Yeah.
Okay,
Not easy.
A schlemiel is somebody who spills the soup. A schlemazel is the person who spilled upon.
Correct.
Oh, except if you have a Starbucks and you spill it on yourself and then you're both and that's me. Yeah.
True or false? Jews control the media.
True.
Correct.
True.
What is the one essential topic of mealtime conversation? Any mealtime.
What's for the next meal and where you're going to have it.
Where you're going to have it. Terrific. Yeah. Absolutely. Excuse me. You should be driven crazy wondering where your next meal is coming. All right. Of the following food items, which is acceptable? Pork chop.
No.
Ham.
Never.
Bacon.
It depends on who's around.
No one's looking. Shrimp.
If you're on a cruise ship and there's a free buffet.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's delicious. You don't have it in your own home, but you're out of the house. It's like McDonald's. The kids love it. It's a treat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Repeat the following sentence back to me at the volume at which Jews speak to one another.
Okay.
I haven't had a bowel movement in 2 days.
I haven't had a bowel movement in 2 weeks!
Terrific.
That was terrible.
No, it was perfect volume. That was terrible. You got the last word wrong. I said days, not weeks. It doesn't matter.
I'm really backed up.
If it was 2 weeks,
really
we'd have you in a hospital or someone would have to administer.
It's residual goiness. Yeah.
Anyway, you sure? You have tight sphincters. Okay.
Yeah.
What must be done before traveling?
Overpack and call your mother to get anti-anxiety medication, like a Xanax.
I'll give you a Paxil. Okay? Both true.
Yeah.
However, you must, absolutely, without any doubt, send your mother a detailed itinerary of your vacation and or your closest relative.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay? You fax the phone.
Never forget. Your mother needs to know where you are.
Yeah. Good God forbid they should have.
I'm going to present you with a scenario.
Can you imagine how horrible that would be? They send out a police or they do an Amber Alert for you. God, I should
Every 5 minutes I'm on the highway. Toyota Corolla. Who cares? Okay, so here's the situation.
Yeah.
I'm going to present you with a scenario. You tell me how you'd handle it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're on your way to a ski vacation, okay? You forgot to pack a sweater. What do you do?
Okay, quickly stop the car, go in, grab the first thing I can find, and hope my wife doesn't freak out, and hopefully we make our plane.
Okay. That is absurd. First of all, you're not going to the third world. Anywhere you're going, they have a store.
A Marshall's. Or a Lowman's in the back room, you can get something. I'm wearing this.
I'd go to a Nordstrom or like a Macy's or whatever. Okay?
Fine?
Second of all, you never want to miss your flight.
No.
It is totally unnecessary to incur extra fees.
Yeah, besides, if you're on it, then the chances of you getting bumped and getting a free voucher
much
boom.
Higher. Yeah. All right, to track a point for that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to read a couple of Woody Allen quotes. You tell me what movies they're from. Don't knock masturbation. It's sex with someone you love.
Annie Hall.
Correct.
Ding.
All right.
Yeah.
People should mate for life, like pigeons or Catholics.
Manhattan.
Great.
Ding.
Talk is what you suffer through so you can get to sex. Get sex.
I think that's like Hollywood ending.
Who cares? At that point, no one was paying attention.
Yeah. True.
Is that unbelievable
we'll assume
what
he's
he
right.
did with the daughter?
All right.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because you know something? Here's the God's honest truth. Yeah. She's not even good looking. No. Am I right? There's something wrong.
If she was
her.
Like Lucy Liu, you could understand.
Of course. Or what's the one on The View who I love?
I wouldn't mind. She's living in a triplex on Central Park.
It's like a nightmare.
She obviously knows something.
Well, of course, he said he didn't want to have any more babies. What did the minute and a half later,
in any event,
three babies by him.
In any event, Beverly. What's the score? Tally it up. This is Christopher's life we're talking about.
This is it.
Watch.
What is the score of the quiz?
I don't know. I was enjoying so much, I stopped taking, I can't even read my writing. Is this fun?
What are you talking about?
I wasn't
You're supposed
scoring.
To be keeping score the entire time.
More yeses than noes and a false.
I think I pass. I pass.
All
right. I pass, right? Come on. I'm a CJ.
Give him a round of applause. Okay. You know what happens now.
Okay.
Or if you don't, you don't deserve it, so let's hear it.
Yeah.
Can I please be a cultural Jew?
No.
No.
Can I please be a cultural Jew?
I do not think so.
No, I don't. No, no.
Enough! I'm a cultural Jew!
Fine.
Okay.
Terrific. That's exactly what... If someone says no to you, you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing.
Yeah.
If you're in a conversation in doubt... Escalate, okay? You are always
times.
Right for the first 15 minutes of any conversation. At that point, you can change your mind. Christopher.
Yes.
Please take out the ritual gefilte fish.
I was going to smash some mayonnaise, a big jar of mayonnaise underfoot, but it got confiscated at the Burbank Airport.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Apparently.
Okay.
It is a petroleum base.
Are we ready?
Of course, God forbid you buy it.
I have a question for Christopher.
Yes.
What is the first thing you're going to do now that you're a cultural Jew?
Get a divorce and marry a Shiksa trophy wife.
It's an interesting idea. I hope you get half the Bali farm. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So Christopher.
Thank you,
his new name, Chaim Nachson. Okay? If you see him downstairs, call him Chaim. For tonight,
I just
anyway.
Sing the whole time.
Yeah. Simon Tubman, Mazel Tubman, Mazel Tubman, Simon Tubman. It's a little bop. If you come at 11:15, we're doing a book presentation for our book, Run and Beverly.
10 minutes.
Tell everyone you know.
Hosting.